We've got several places that we're going to read tonight. I don't exactly remember our father reading this passage of Scripture, but looking on the internet, I know one of the passages of Scripture was titled as such, but we was reading this week, and my hope is that the Lord would use me, that I might be able to share with you what He has showed me. It says in the 34th chapter of Exodus, and the 14th verse says, "For thou shalt worship no other God, for the Lord, whose name is Jealous, is a jealous God." You know, you think about that, and why would God give His title or have His name to be jealous of all? Of all words, we know if we read in the 34th chapter, we can read the 5th and 6th verse. It says, "And the Lord ascended in a cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord." And it goes on to say, "And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, and forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the iniquity, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children, unto the third and to the fourth generation." And, you know, it starts out here that the Lord is merciful and gracious, long-suffering, abundant in goodness and truth. And then it goes on just a little bit further and says that for the Lord, whose name is Jealous, is a jealous God. And we know that it would be impossible if we could give the Lord but one title outside of God. Now, I know that a lot of people in their mind, when they say God, what does that really mean? I know that without the Scripture, we can define God to be anything or to be anyone. We can describe it to be any being. But we know that those that believe God's holy word knows that God sent it for a purpose, and that purpose was to communicate His will toward us, and that we might know exactly not only what we should do, but who He is. And there is many names for the name of God, and how this is but one aspect of a mighty and a wonderful God. But you know, a lot of times I think we take passages or we take verses out of a passage or a thought, and we try to then to get a thought by that simple verse. And it says in the tenth verse, it says, "And He said, Behold, I make a covenant before all thy people. I will do marvels such as have not been done in all the earth, nor in any nation. And all the people among which thou art shall seek the work of the Lord, for it is a terrible thing that I will do with thee." And then it goes on to say, "Observe thou," and we want to notice in verse 10 it says, "Behold, I make a covenant." And then it goes on to say in the 11th, "Observe thou that of which I command thee this day. Behold, I drive out before thee the Amorite and the Canaanite and the Hittite and the Perizzite and the Hevite and the Jebusite. Take heed to thyself, lest thou make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land whither thou goest, lest it be for a snare in the midst of thee. But ye shall destroy their altars, break down their images, and cut down their groves." Now let's go ahead and read that verse again. "For thou shalt worship no other God, for the Lord, whose name is Jealous, is a jealous God." And then it goes on to say in the 17th verse, it says, "Thou shalt make thee no molten gods." And I know that we know the Bible says in the 10th, one of the Ten Commandments, "Thou shalt have no graven images." But here we see that He says, "Thou shalt make thee no molten god." And I was thinking about that as well as a jealous God. You look up jealousy, and you can't hardly define that word without saying suspicious. Suspiciously. But why is that? Because when we are jealous of something,
someone else's love, we're either jealous of their affection, or we're jealous of the affection of that one that they're showed to the one that we do love. And we're suspicious. I don't wonder, maybe if someone was treating that one that we cared about in a nice way, we're suspicious if the one that we love, if they feel the same way toward that person as that person is communicating to them. But I want to tell you, we serve a God that's all-knowing. We don't serve a God that's suspicious, that's wondering whether we are faithful to Him or not. But He's jealous because He's not suspicious, but He knows. He knows the wiles of the devil. He knows there's been a covenant made, and that we've been bought. Those of the church age have been bought with a price, and it's the price of Jesus Christ's blood. And He has every reason to be jealous, because He has bought us. We're not our own, and He knows the wiles of the devil. And each and every one of us, we need to ask ourselves, are we serving a molten God today? Are we serving a graven image? You can think about that. And think, when God said that He would cause great wonders because I've made a covenant with you, why would anybody want a boy make a God melt the steel, melt the gold, whatever the metal, and pour it and conform it into an idol? I'll tell you why. Because we can make our God in what we want Him to be. And I will say, serve the true and the living God. We must serve Him for who He is and what He said. We must come unto His will and accept His will for our lives. That's why, my friend, the people even in our educated day to day still have molten gods, still have graven images. They might not call them Baal, though they might not call them this one or that one. But what we've effectively done today has taken God and conformed Him to our world, to our life. But the Bible says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind through the Holy Spirit. Sir, aren't you glad that we need God? We need God to take the ideals in our mind and melt them all down and our kind of pour them in a mold and say, that's my God. That's my theology. It fits me well. It fits my life. But we ourselves, we are the clay in the potter's hands. We are that steel that we should melt in the fiery fervent heat of a righteous God. And let Him conform us. No, let Him transform us into what He would have us to be, so that we can shine, that we can be a testimony to a world full of people with their molten image of God and who He is. All right now. So that's why God is jealous, because we've been bought with a precious price, because there's been a covenant made, because we're not our own anymore. We have no business making covenants with the people of wickedness. We have no business sleeping with the world, for we are the bride of Christ. We've been promised there's coming a day, a marriage supper before the supper, though there is a wedding ceremony. And aren't you glad if you've been born again, you can be a bride of Christ? You can gather around
the throne and join into that song that the angels can't sing. Oh, why? Because they're not his bride. He's made not a covenant with them. He's not jealous for them as a husband is with a wife. Why? Because he has promised him. Now listen to me. He has promised himself to us. Think about it, church. Think about that he's a righteous God, an all-powerful God. And he said to me, he said to you, I'll be true to you. I'll stick by you. I will provide for you. You don't have to go to the world. I am a just God. Oh, know me. Know me. And get out your own image of who God is. No need to carve out him, because there is none other as righteous and holy and as good as he. He's exactly what we need. And I'm thankful of him. So then, a lot of times, the world can't understand it. Why God would be jealous for his people. But it goes a little further. If you would bear with me, just as Paul said, because every one of us is human, many times now, as I preach tonight, I preach in all humility. I know in times past that we fail, but my desire is that I might live and be that acceptable bride of Jesus Christ. Although we know that Moses himself, when he led the children of Israel, because he knew God was a jealous God, he let his emotions sometimes get in the way because of the frustration of seeing Rose. And then said, don't you understand what God has done for you? He's brought you out of Egypt, and you long to go back there. You were a slave. All you had to eat was the food of the Egyptian. And God has provided us with holy manna. He brought the flesh in on the wind so that we might have meat. And he's better than anything we've ever had. But listen, he's better than anything that you'll ever find. Why? Because he is my God, righteous and holy, gracious, loving, long-suffering. Aren't you glad of that? But oh, Moses was not the only one that was jealous with a godly jealousy. Although we can find it in the 11th chapter of 1 Corinthians. Then we're going to go ahead with the second verse, it says, this is Paul writing, but as I said, won't you just bear with me? That's what he's pretty much saying here in the first verse. Would to God you could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me, for I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Paul here, he had a jealousy a godly jealousy. Paul not being all-knowing as God was. That his jealousy spoke of his vigilance. That he was going to be faithful toward these people. But also, knowing the wiles of the devil, he was suspicious, no doubt, of the conduct of some of those in Corinth. And because of it, he was motivated with a godly jealousy to proclaim the truth and to tell them, what are you doing? Unfortunately, there are so many congregations that want to get stopped short of that line. So that they might do it to the fullest without crossing that line. But I want to tell you, that takes away from the simplicity, Tim, of the gospel. I need not to worry about, can I go over across Jordan? Can I get without my boundaries and be alright if I'm content? So, I need not worry about what's going on in the land of the Hittites. I need not worry about what's going on amongst the Philistines or the Canaanites. I need not even care if they fear my God. Why? Because I'm sitting at his throne and he fights my battles. And if he would have me to go on a journey as old David did, quest as it was to conquer the enemies, saying, I know my God would provide. Why? Because he is a jealous God. And he'll see that our provisions are made. We have a covenant. He's made a promise to each and every one of us.
Bless him, Lord.
And so then, it doesn't stop nearly. Just only with preachers, but each and every one of us. If we understand who God is, then we'll be here as Paul, and we'll have a godly jealousy. Sometimes I'm afraid we can act out of the way. There's something about it. I've seen men that you just couldn't make mad, but you know what? You start messing around or flirting with their wife, and you'll see a calm, timid man that don't have a harsh word to say about anything. You'll see him get angry. Why? Because this is something very dear to his heart. And I want to tell each and every one of you that you are dear to my heart. That's what motivates me. Nothing else. Let's look around. We're a small congregation. I'm not looking for earthly praise or fame. But I want to tell you, I'm very careful about what my Lord about. How people would perceive my God from my actions. That's why God is jealous as well. He wanted to tell and communicate to the children of Israel, I've delivered you, I've bought you at a price, and you must live by my standard. Because if we did not, if they went and they did, go whoring after the idols of those around about them, that diminished in the eyes of those of the Hittite, of the Jebusite. They said, you serve the living God, then why do you come to my temple and offer sacrifices? Because the Israelite offered sacrifices, and the temples of Baal did not diminish who God was. He still was the true and the only living God. But it diminished in the eyes of the people who the God of Israel was. That's why the world don't fear God anymore. Because the church world go around for professing and claiming that they're serving the true and the living God. And then they pull out their molten image and says, here he is. They pull out their graven image of the God they carved on, of the Bible they've ripped pages out of, of the Word of God, as they would call it, but it's nothing more than the words of man, and said, this is my God and you need him. But I want to tell you, God's church is a jealous church with a godly jealousy. I would say, wait a minute, that's not my God. My God is the God. My God is the God of the Holy Word. I only have any knowledge of who he is because of what he's told me, not because of something I thumped up or thought of when I was out in the woods somewhere. We've all got our own understanding, but the Bible says, lean not unto your own understanding. That's where we can find clarity, is in God's Word. And because of it, we can find out who he is. Let's get some song to sing.
Blessed Lord.
Have you come in contact with my God, whose name is Jealous? Have you come in contact with my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? Or have you not been so careful about the reputation of others? Did you realize, now listen to me, do you realize if I went out and they seen me, I can't remember, I drove by Friday, I think it's called Ball Busters, that bar right there on East 32. Let's stop for just a minute. Would you think it would reflect poorly on me if you went to work Monday and you heard, there was Darrell Hinchley down there in that bar? Do you think it would reflect poorly on who I was? Do you think people would laugh and mock and say, he calls himself a Christian? Well, I want to tell you, it don't stop there. It would reflect poorly on each and every one of us. And unfortunately, it would reflect poorly in the minds of the so lost and the sinners on God. But I'm telling you, my God is able to deliver us from sin even today. And while we live amongst the Hittites and the bird and the parasite, amen, and the Jebusite, though they might be so vile amongst us, we've got a covenant with God, and each and every one of us. I need to see that. He has ever right to be jealous, does he not? Let's stand and sing. Have you been guilty of trying to melt and conform the ways of God to your lifestyle? I'm afraid if you say yes, that you're not alone. The world's full of people that is trying to serve God their own little way. But he's got a standard. He's made a way. It's called forgiveness through repentance and belief in Jesus Christ. We must repent. We must repent daily. Amen. We must look to God for our every need. We must see him for who he is. He's our husband. He is our a spouse. He's made the way. He's preparing a place. A honeymoon suite, if you want to call it that. He went away. He said, won't you follow me? I gave you a ticket. I bought you this ticket. Don't you want to come? Don't you want to follow after me? Listen, everything I've got is good. But we say, it costs too much. Well, I want to tell you, it cost dearly, did it not? It cost Jesus his life. But I'm going to tell you tonight, really, it has cost us nothing but a little bit of discomfort maybe down here. But I would rather experience a discomfort in this life and escape that where there is eternal discomfort. That's an understatement if there ever was one, you know. Where the Bible says there's eternal damnation. But I'm glad that I have a jealous God. The God that is jealousy, He'll not forsake me. There'll not be a time that He's not prepared a way of escape for me. Because He's jealous toward me. He wants to see us succeed, does He not? He wants to see us victorious. He wants to look in our face around the throne of God. And I want to look in His. You know, I don't know what old Moses looked like when he come down off that mount. But you know what? I truly believe every one of us will be able to experience that if we trust in God as our Savior. If we look to Him for our provision. I'm longing for the day, Trent, when my face will shine as Moses.
Bless the Lord. Amen.
When I'll be able to hear them angels sing, holy, holy, dear Lamb of God, when I'll be able to feel Him, do you ever have services where you feel the Spirit of God so strong? That ain't nothing, is it? Where He's going to be thick as water around that throne. That's why the Bible says He'll give us a new body, is it not? We'll not be able to stand before that holy God. We melt in His presence without that regeneration. But He didn't promise us a regeneration in the future. But we can experience a regeneration down here so that we can serve a God that is providing for us on every need. Love each and every one of you. And ask that you all pray for me. And I'll pray for you.